deep in your mind, in your heart, do you have a problem with God? A problem because you think, God, if you are God, why do you allow such horrible men to rule on the face of this earth? Why do you allow all this bloodshed? Why do you allow all this war? After all, if you're God, couldn't you stop it? Those are legitimate questions. You can voice them. We're going to find the answers today. Sometimes feel guilty. I mean, guilty because you even think, why should I think things like that about God? And you've kept them in your heart, and sometimes maybe you've voiced them to another Christian, and they've gone, how can you think that? How can you question God? God does not mind your questions. He really doesn't. God, in fact, you'll find Jesus asking a lot of questions as he goes through his ministry. Who do men say that I am? And he'll just challenge them with questions to help them find the answers, to help them find truth. And you and I are free to ask God any question that we want to ask him. You know why? Because he has an answer for every single question that you'll ask him. That question, the answer to that question, is found in the precepts of God's life, in God's Word. So when you go into the precepts of God's Word, you find precepts for life so that you know how to live, how to answer these questions, how to keep from having your faith be shaken. Well, as we go to Daniel, and it's such a privilege, I want you to know, my friend, it is such a privilege to be able to teach you the Word of God, to have you listen day after day, to have you study along with me. You just don't know what it means to me to know that there are women and men who want to be discerning, who want to discern truth for themselves, who want to know what God has to say, and then to dig into it, and then to order their life accordingly. Thank you so much. Well, as we look at Daniel chapter 4, as we look at Daniel's interpretation of this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, we're going to learn some incredible precepts that are going to help us understand where God is and why he doesn't do something about these main rulers of these nations that are just destroying other nations. We're going to get a big view of the picture. So I want you to hang in there with me, because I promise you that what you're going to learn will hold you in good biblical stead, so to speak, in the days to come and in your study of the Word of God. Now, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in that dream he saw a tree, and that tree was cut down, and a stump was left, and there were bands of iron and bronze around that stump, and then that stump was drenched with the dew of heaven, but it's all of a sudden the stump becomes a he. It becomes a human being. A human mind is taken away from him, and he is given the mind of a beast, and he eats the grass of the field with the beasts of the field. All right, now, Daniel has just heard this dream. He has just heard it for the first time. Daniel is a man in tune with God. He knows God. God has given him wisdom. God has given him the ability to interpret dreams, the gift to do this. And he says in verse 18, Nebuchadnezzar says, "This was the dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar," remember, Belteshazzar is one of the names of Nebuchadnezzar's God, and he gave that to Daniel. He says, "Tell me its interpretation." You want to underline interpretation. "Inasmuch as none of the wise men of Babylon, of my kingdom, is able to make known to me the interpretation." But you are able, for a spirit of the holy gods is in you. Now, the other way that this can be translated is, but the spirit of the holy God is within you. And I think they didn't know which way to translate it. And I think that in all probability, because of the context of this chapter, it should be translated because the spirit of the holy God is in you. Because Nebuchadnezzar from the beginning tells us now he recognizes who God is. And now he recognizes that God is the one who is, whose dominion is from generation to generation. Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was appalled for a while as his thoughts alarmed him. The king responded and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream, mark dream, or the interpretation, mark that, alarm you. Now, he says, Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. Catch the scene. Daniel has heard the dream. He's heard the dream, and he's just standing there. He understands the revelation. I mean, he understands the interpretation of that dream. It's been revealed to him. So as he stands there, it is the interpretation is so awful that he's pale. I mean, he can't open his mouth. He doesn't want to tell the king what the interpretation of this dream is. And Nebuchadnezzar is urging him, tell me. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And he said, my lord, if only the interpretation applied to those who hate you and the interpretation to your adversaries. It's bad, Nebuchadnezzar. It's really bad. And it's so bad that this is something you would wish on your enemy. This is something that you would wish on your adversaries. And this is what he says. The tree which you saw, which became large and grew strong, whose height reached the sky and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the kings, the birds of the sky lodged. And there's a dash in the writing, which implies a pause. It is you. It is you, O King, for you have become great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached to the sky, and your dominion to the end of the earth. This tree is you. You know what's going to happen to the tree. You know the angelic watcher came. You know the angelic watcher says, chop down the tree, leave its stump. And you know that the beasts fled from underneath the branches of that tree as it was cut down, and the birds flew away. And what he's saying is, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the tree. This is why it would be better off if this were for your enemy or for your adversary. But that's not all the bad news. Listen to the rest. He says, and in that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one descending from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, yet leave its stump, leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Now you know why the tree took on the personal pronoun, the masculine pronoun he. And let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the field until seven periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, the sovereign ruler of the universe, whose dominion is everlasting and is from generation to generation, which has come upon the Lord, my King. Now I added what Nebuchadnezzar said to the text, just to remind you, this is the interpretation, that you be driven away from mankind and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field. And you be given grass to eat like the cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time pass over you until you, King Nebuchadnezzar, recognize that the Most High rules over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you the interpretation. It's your pride. It's your pride. You think you've done it. You've forgotten that it's God. You don't realize something, King. You don't realize that you were able to conquer all those kingdoms simply because God let you. It wasn't your prowess. It wasn't your skill as a war machine. It was God. Yes, you had those abilities, but it was God that gave you the victory. It was God. Oh, King. He says, and in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. There is some relief here. There is some relief because there's bad news, but there's good news. You get the bad news first, but you get the good news. And the good news is, I'm going to take away your kingdom. I'm going to take away your sovereignty. I'm going to do it for 7 periods of time, but you're going to get it back. You're going to get it back. But this is what it's going to take to make you understand that God is the ruler over the realm of mankind. Beloved, do you understand that? Do you understand that God rules? Do you understand that He's sovereign? Have you bowed the knee? Have you recognized that God is God and you're not? That He's the only Savior and you're not? Have you recognized that everything that you have and everything that you are has been gifted to you by God? Have you recognized that? Have you thanked Him? Have you fallen on your knees? If you haven't, beloved, He may have to do something to you out of love in order to get your attention.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org /Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Daniel was not finished speaking. After he told the king the interpretation of the dream, after he gave him the verdict was that you're guilty. You're guilty of pride. The sentence was, for 7 periods of time, you're going to be out of your mind. For 7 periods of time, you're going to eat the grass of the field. For 7 periods of time, you're going to be drenched with dew from heaven. From 7 periods of time, you're going to have not the mind of a man, but the mind of an animal. For 7 periods of time, your sovereignty is going to be renewed from you. You, the great king, are going to be brought down to the dirt. To the dirt. That was the sentence. But then there was the promise. And the promise was, I'll not take your kingdom away from you. I will restore it to you. And then comes the advice, the counsel, so to speak, from the judge. Because Daniel's not through speaking. Listen to what he says. Because if you are in the position of Nebuchadnezzar, if somehow you have just made your way up, or you have exalted yourself and you have become this ruler of your own life and master of your own fate and commander of your own troops and the master of your own ship, if you become like that, God has a word of advice for you that could save you a lot of grief. This was God's word from Daniel, from God, through Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins. The way you're living is sin. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness. By doing righteousness. What you have done is you have done evil. Your life has been evil. And you need to recognize that. Break away from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. You haven't been merciful to the poor. You're sitting here in this marvelous, beautiful Babylon. There's no city in the whole world like Babylon. Its magnificence is renowned. It's hanging gardens as one of the 7 wonders of the world. But what about the poor? How did you get there? On the backs of the poor, you have not been merciful to the poor. You have all this luxury and you keep heaping luxury upon luxury upon luxury. May I ask you a question? Have you ever picked up those classy catalogs at Christmas? Have you ever picked up those magazines like Town and Country and others that talk to people, that are designed for people that are very, very wealthy? It's an education sometimes to pick those up, to look at the advertisements, to see what they advertise and the way they advertise it and the articles that they have. And some of them are good. I got it. You say, how do you know about it? I got a subscription. I got a subscription by accident. I think my husband just went through and just filled it out thinking that I wanted it. And so I got an education because since I had it there, I was going to look at it. and you look at how people heap upon themselves luxury upon luxury upon luxury upon luxury until you're looking at blouses that are $1,000 or $1,500 and you know, just, I mean, stuff that's absolutely, I mean, it's just pure, unadulterated luxury, abundance. And you think, how can I put on a blouse that costs that much when there are these people in the world that need help? And not just what you see on television about the poor, starving little children with the flies around them and the bloated bellies and that, but people in your own neighborhood, people maybe that you work for, people that where you shop, you know, there are people that need help. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't even see them. He didn't show mercy to them. And Daniel's saying, you know, you could follow my advice and God wouldn't have to do this to you. God wouldn't have to humble you until you recognize that he was the ruler of all mankind, that he was the Most High God, and that everything that you had really was a gift from him. He wouldn't have to do this if you recognize this. And he says, he goes on to say, by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. In other words, it's not that God wants to take it away from you. It's just that God wants you to use it properly. That's what he wants. He wants you to be like him. He wants you to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And this is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. He sends his sunshine on the just and the unjust. He says, I want you to be like me. I am loving, I am merciful, I am full of compassion. And yet, I have to judge iniquity. I have to judge iniquity. And that's what he's about to do. Now listen, this is going to be such a shock for this man. This man was likened to a tree. And what I want us to do is I want to look at some passages that deal with trees and show you how this relates. I want to show you how you can discern truth, how you can interpret scripture. And it comes by knowing the whole counsel of God. It comes by going through the Bible book by book and adding precept upon precept and line upon line and learning and getting these truths. So we're looking at the tree. In the margin of your notes of your study guide that you got by downloading it or you got it by calling us and we sent it to you, I want you to write next to verse 20 where you write the interpretation. This is the interpretation of the dream. Write tree. And then put Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Now, it's going to take us longer than this program to look at these references. But we're not just looking at trees. I'm going to show you some valuable things about Nebuchadnezzar, about Babylon, and about how God deals with nations and why God allows certain nations to continue even when they're awful. So we're going to keep on going on, but let's get started. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. All right, this is what he says. The Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, against everyone who was lifted up, that he may be abased. In other words, listen carefully. Pride never goes unjudged. Pride never goes unjudged. So all these nations that are in their pride, that are exalting themselves and trampling over other nations, they will be judged. God is just. God is fair. And he will judge them. All right. It's the same for individuals. Everyone who is lofty, everyone who is proud will be abased. Verse 13, it doesn't happen right away. Doesn't happen right away. If you've read ahead in Daniel chapter 4, you know that judgment never came on Nebuchadnezzar until a whole year had passed. God has his timing. All right, he was giving Nebuchadnezzar time to repent. Verse 13, and it will be, God's day of reckoning will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, and all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains and all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, every fortified wall. In other words, he's saying, okay, everything that is a symbol of pride is going to come down. Every nation that is grown like the cedar of Lebanon, like the oak of Bashan. The oak of Bashan is a reference to Israel, to the northern part of Israel, and God already chopped those down because God took the northern kingdom into captivity again under the Assyrians, a great, great nation. A great nation that just preceded Babylon. And so under the Assyrians, he brought the oaks of Bashan low. He's going to bring low the cedars of Lebanon. He wants us to understand that. Now go to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 34. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 34. And I would suggest that if you want to, you can just write down sovereignty. Or trees, write down trees, and then go to the next verse. And this is Isaiah chapter 10, and it's verse 34. And this is what he says. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an iron axe, and Lebanon, this nation that has exalted itself against God, will fall by the mighty one. Let me go back and read verse 33. Behold, the Lord, the God of hosts, Jehovah Shabaoth, will lop off the boughs with a terrible crash, and those also who are tall in stature will be cut down, and those who are lofty will be abased, and he will cut down the thickets of the forest with an iron axe, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. What is God saying? God's saying, listen, you can ask me those questions. You're right. I do not like and will not tolerate nations that do evil. Listen carefully. I will use them. I'll explain this to you in the next program. I will use them. I will accomplish my purposes through them, and yet they will not go unjudged. Wait on me. Wait on my timing, and know this, that everyone who is proud, be it a nation or be it an individual, I will bring low. So, beloved, get rid of pride while you can before God acts.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.